It's now time for Cannabis Talk 101 with Blue, Joe Grande, and Mark and Craig Wasserman, the Pot Brothers at Law. We're the world's number one podcast for everything cannabis.
Welcome to Cannabis Talk 101 with Blue, Joe Grande, and Mark and Craig Wasserman, the Pot Brothers at Law. Thank you for listening to the podcast all around the world. And happy holidays to you guys. Make sure you call us up anytime. 1-800-420-1980, and just say hello. Or if you want to, if you want Santa Claus to call you, leave us a message and say, Santa, call us, 800-420-1980. We have the best cannabis clause ever.
Cannabis clause, yes.
Cannabis clause, you like that? I like how I pulled that out of y'all. Cannabis clause.
Merry Christmas.
And make sure you check out our website, CannabisTalk101.com, as we're the world's number one source for everything cannabis. And check out our Instagram pages for daily news, learn the script, and so much more on all social media at Cannabis Talk 101, at Pot_Brothers_@_Law. And Mark is at Waslaw. Craig is at Waslaw Dog. While Blue is at One Christopher Wright. I am at Joe Grande 52. And of course, my buddy Elvis, who's joining us right now, is
at Radio Elvis.
Is at Radio Elvis.
Yes. Yeah. Right.
And Elvis, thank you for joining us right now again, as the boys are busy working or lying or doing whatever.
Right.
I know Blue is helping build. He's doing some serious labor right now.
Serious labor. Oh, well, good. Good and bad. It's not my thing. It's just not.
Yeah. He's doing, we know we have a new office, right?
Yeah. Right.
We have a new office. And so he's over there really putting this all together for us right now, which is awesome.
Nice.
And he's literally doing so much. So we appreciate Blue for doing what he's doing. And that being said, Mark and Craig, I don't know what they're doing, probably coming up with a new concept of something not to do with us and for them to do it together. Whoa. And then they won't show for that.
Whoa.
But, you know, hello. I mean, geez.
Those
are just my low blows that I like to throw here and there.
Yeah, that's what you do. That's fine.
I mean, it's okay, right?
Yeah, it's okay. Listen, there's no animosity. It's just, hey, we're doing the show. This is our thing today. You know what I'm saying?
And it's better. It's better that way anyways. And that being said,
I would agree.
When I say better, I have a story for you. And we kind of talked about it on the last show that we did about social equity. And here's another one of that just makes me smile when I see minority folk helping minority folk. Don't get me twisted, folks, either. I like when anybody and everybody helps each other. Don't get me wrong. It's just a little more special. To me, when I see us, when I say us, me being a minority, help each other, because Lord knows we like to turn our backs on each other. It feels like easier than not. And when you see us come together, and it's all people come together. But this story right here is Jay-Z backed the parent company's name, Tiffany McBride, as the managing director of Social Equity Ventures.
Beautiful.
Now, the parent company, a publicly traded U.S. cannabis organization backed by no other than Jay-Z, is on a mission to make the cannabis industry more diverse, inclusive, and equitable.
Yeah.
Which is key. Why? Because let's just face it, you guys, it hasn't been always. And it still isn't.
Agreed. Right.
So aligning with this, the company has hired Tiffany McBride as its new managing director.
Beautiful.
Of the Social Equity Ventures.
Awesome.
Now, founded in January 2021, the parent company is California's leading vertically integrated cannabis company. McBride's hire comes as the company also welcomed Carrie Arnold as its chief people officer.
Right.
So not only are they doing, you know, some color, but they're doing women.
Females, women, yeah, love
which
it.
Is key.
Yes,
because we need it, folks. You can't just have, which we have, like, look in government. Look in the fucking world.
White men.
This is why, Elvis, I'm going to say this about you. This is why I love you so much, because you've been the one, not the one, there's been a couple, but not too many. But one of my friends, that's the white man, that has done the, like when Obama was there, like, it's about time we get some minorities up there. We had too many white men that have run this country. And you've, like, not turned on your people,
but
looked at it as like, well, dude, this whole world's been ran by white old men forever.
And it's time to make a change. And, you know, I'm not saying anything against white old men that run this government, but we need new ideas. We need new people in there, and women and color need to be in there, because we're such a diverse country. You know, they need their voices heard. They need certain legislation passed that's going to help not only people of color, but us as people, as a human race in this country. So yeah, I've always been that way. My parents raised me in a very liberal household.
I wouldn't say your parents. I'd say it's more your dad.
Yeah, no, my mother as well. My mother was that. My mother had us going door to door during, and this is, I'm just aging myself here, during the Vietnam War, going door to door with an organization called War is Not a Good Thing for Children and Other Living Things, something like that. War is Not Good for Children and Other Living Things, and denouncing any war, because any war is wrong, in my opinion. You know, we
it's
have
so
to.
So funny. Are you ready for this? I think there's a time for it because I've seen it in the
Bible.
We have
to defend ourselves.
I think there's a place and time for it. I don't like it, but I do feel like, you know.
But there have been many unnecessary.
Don't get
wars
me wrong. I agree with that too. But, yeah. And not only that, for those who don't know, Elvis's dad worked in the inner city streets of Los Angeles in the hood.
Yes. At age 55, he was in public administration. He was a city manager for many years in Burbank, in Tracy, he was city manager in Brawley, California. And then he got out at age 55, went and got his teaching credential at San Diego State and wanted to make a difference. And he took a job with the LAUSD. And, you know, he grew up in Los Angeles in Montebello and this and that, went to USC, graduated in 1958, and he became a history teacher in Watts he loved it. He was so good at it, and he got all kinds of commendations, but yeah, he wanted to make a difference.
Did your dad ever smoke weed?
You know what's funny? What's funny about that? Before my parents got divorced, my dad was into a thing called EST, which was self-improvement. It's now called Landmark, and he wrote a lot of the curriculum for this Landmark. And one of his good friends on that was Jeff Goldblum, the actor.
No way.
In fact, when my dad passed away, I got an email from Jeff Goldblum's publicist saying, "Your father changed Jeff's life," type of thing. So my dad was a very unique individual. He was very into social equity, and he was very into, you know, people all getting the same, you know, opportunity, which is what he wanted to do for the kids that he was teaching in South Central Los Angeles. So he's a great guy.
That all being said, let me get back to this tour right here. And there's a quote right here where it says, "This is an exciting time to join the parent company as the managing director of Social Equity Ventures to continue to ensure that minority communities have a seat at the table in the cannabis industry," McBride said in a press release. The Social Equity Ventures Fund and the recent opening of LA's first Black woman-owned dispensary, Josephine and Billy's, are just some of the ways we are already making progress toward the more equitable future in cannabis. Now, McBride joins the company with more than 15 years of experience in strategy development, most recently serving as a big chief operator officer. She will oversee the parent company's Social Equity Ventures program and help identify more minority entrepreneurs working in the cannabis sector to offer them capital and mentorship. You know, it's just like I said, things like this that are pushing in the right direction. And, you know, this just comes a few months after the parent company appointed Troy Daxter to the CEO, making him the first Black CEO to lead a public cannabis company in the U.S. So great. They're doing big things for men, for women, and that big name, Jay-Z,
Jay-Z
is
right.
Behind it all. I'm not afraid to admit this. When I tell people, they say, "Who was the biggest jerk you ever met, Joe?" As Elvis, you probably get these type of questions all the time.
Uh-huh.
You know, because we've met so many people.
Puff Daddy.
And sometimes Jay-Z, not sometimes, Jay-Z's name comes out of my mouth every time.
Wow.
As much as I said, you know, he was a dick to me at a couple events where I try to do my job. He was there doing the thing. And I'm just like, you know, you've been cool to me in the studio. And then I go out to the event. We're at the Run DMC Hands of Walk of Fame thing. I'm trying to get a soundbite from him, and we're just in a VIP room together.
Yeah, right.
There's only a few of us, but and they're my recorder. And he tries to act like, "Oh, hold on," and he's not doing anything.
Yeah, right.
And I'm like, dude, I get it, but don't you know what I mean, player? Come on, dog.
I get it. He probably didn't remember you, first of all, from the radio interview.
I mean, it's 300-pound guy. You don't remember.
He's great point. With probably earrings and yellow hair and gold teeth. Is that, I mean, that was your look?
That. It was a silver one, but thanks for remembering. That all being said,
whatever.
I go from saying that about him to now, you know, I still can use that story and say this was the biggest jerk moves that I've had from the major celebrities that I've met. You know, and then I hear the, "Who's your favorite?" And I got to tell everybody, my favorite's been The Rock. Although Prince was right there too, but The Rock just really stands out. But that being said, my point to Jay-Z is he keeps doing great things, man. You know, I've had some bad encounters, but he really is doing some fucking good out there. And yeah, props to you, Jay-Z. And I borderline feel bad that I keep bad-mouthing you to certain individuals in private conversations. And I feel like I had to clear my conscience on it because
you're
doing
great
things. Yeah,
I'm
proud of you. And keep helping the minority folks. Keep helping the women. It's Cannabis Talk 101. We'll be right back after this. Welcome back to Cannabis Talk 101 with Blue Joe Grande and Mark and Craig Wasserman, the Pop Brothers at Law. I am joined with my brother, Elvis Medina.
Hi there.
Yes.
Hello.
The man, the myth, the legend.
In my own
All of radio. This guy's been doing it for years and years. He's got me into the game. He's my idol.
He's
my hero.
Here's the thing about our radio success that we had. It's great to think back on it all. And it's like we worked hard, but we were also lucky in the fact that radio was the only game and they let us be us. You know what I'm saying? They gave us a long leash, and we were on a music station in San Francisco for many, many years, and we didn't play any music really. We really didn't. It was just about content and funny and comedy, and we were very lucky to be in radio at that time. That was radio's heyday, in my opinion. And so,
yes, it was. But, and Elvis, before you go anywhere else, I just want to tell people, if you're looking for high quality seeds, head to rocketseeds.com or on Instagram at rocket_seeds for trusted cannabis seeds at a fair price. Once again, head to rocketseeds.com. That all being said, Mr. Rocket Seeds, what do you got over there?
Well, I like serious things, and I like, I like to get into deep discussions and topics and things like that. But I saw this story and I go, whoa. Norwood, Massachusetts. It's a little town outside of Boston. Uh-huh. A Massachusetts cannabis company there called MariMed, MariMed, baked what they believe is the largest THC-infused brownie ever made.
I seen that story, yes.
3 feet by 3 feet square, 15 inches tall. It weighs 850 pounds. That's what your mother weighed back in the heyday.
Whoa.
I mean, and it contains 20,000 milligrams of THC. The brownie, of course, was made to celebrate the launch of the company's new line of cannabis-infused edibles called Bubby's Baked. According to a statement, they said that they have facilities all over the United States. What happens to that brownie now? Well, they said it's going to be sent to its dispensary and ultimately sold as a medical marijuana patient brownie. That means they'll chop it all up and things like that.
Yeah, medical, because you're going to get diabetes after you eat it.
Yeah, you're going to be a diabetic after that.
You're going to be in a coma
monster
and a diabetic
brownie
after eating that.
Yeah, I remember edibles and I don't go well. I remember having pot brownies really many years ago, like in the 80s, and the taste of the cannabis in there was just too much. But I remember having an edible with my ex-girlfriend, you know her, Jess, where her brother was actually visiting us from New York, and he's been in LA forever. But he came to town. But before he came to town, he texted me, "Hey man, do you have your pot card? I really want to get some cannabis while I get there." So I went and got I walked to Venice in California, right there on the strip, and I walked up to this place, $99, see a doctor, get your doctor's license or whatever it was at the time. And I walked into this place and they asked me a few questions. I said, "Oh, I got a bad back." "Okay, here you go. Where's your $100? Gave me that. And then I walk into their dispensary. And back in the day, this was 2007. And this dispensary was like, whoa, flat screens. And I'm looking at all the strains and I'm looking at all the stuff. So I got some flower for him there. But then I was out on Lincoln Boulevard in Venice. If you know, the area, Marina Del Rey, Venice and everything in Los Angeles. And I'm in this little dispensary and I go, I'm looking at their edibles and I'm looking at them. I'm going, these are all packaged edibles. These are great brownies, cookies, this and that. Guy goes, "Hold on a second." He pulls out from behind the counter, pulls out this old tin, and he pulls this rusty, and I say it's rusty, it probably wasn't, but in my mind, it was this old rusty tin. He goes, "This woman has been baking us products for 20 years here in Venice." And he opened this thing, and it was these chocolate chip cookies. And ooh. I don't know if you've seen Pulp Fiction, anybody, and I know you probably have. You remember the suitcase when they open it, the light comes out and it shines. That's what this kind of experience I had. I go, oh my God, I got to get three of these. So I bought three of them and I put them in the freezer, and he came and he visited us, and you know, he smoked weed and this and that. And you know, I hit it a couple of times with him. I ain't going to lie,
but
I forgot about the cookies. So I thought, oh my God, I woke up and I go, I got to go get a haircut. And I thought, oh my God, we're going to go to a movie later. Let's have an edible. And you know, my ex-girlfriend didn't do pot. She did coke, but I mean,
wow.
And she had issues. She's over that now. She's over that now. But, so I ate the cookie. She ate one, and we ate the whole thing. We each ate one out of the freezer. And I walk over to my haircut guy, and I'm sitting in the chair, and all of a sudden it hits me, and mind meld friggin' woof. My brain was like this, and the guy was a pot smoker. He goes, are you high? I go, I think so. And I started getting texts from my ex-girlfriend where, I swear to God, I thought the word murder was on the text. I swear to God, I thought there was, I'm trying to text her back, and all her texts were like all consonants and there are no vowels in it and things like that. So I knew she was tripping balls too. So I finally got out of the chair. I think I paid him. I walk, and it's right across the street from my condominium at the time in Marina Del Rey. And I walk outside, and I swear to God, everybody in the cars were looking at me. The paranoia was set in, and I go to the light and I push the button. I must have waited for it to turn green like 11 times before I crossed.
Are you serious?
Before I crossed. It was probably once or twice, but in my mind, it was like forever. And I start walking across the street, and I swear to God, I thought I had Ronald McDonald's shoes on, those big clown shoes. Yeah, okay. Oh, there we go. I knew if I
she
brought
did have the red hair.
She had the red wig, just like Ronald, my mother did. God rest her soul. Thanks for that.
I swear to God, when I see that picture, I swear to God, yeah. It looks just, I'm going to post it one day just so everybody can see it.
Thanks for that, my dead mother. I appreciate it. But, and my head felt like it was like a Macy's Day Parade float. I was out of it. So I get to the condo, and I open the door, and the chain is on. And I'm knocking, I'm going, are you in there? She goes, oh, hold on. And I open the door, and she is tripping hard. She says every time she walks into a room, everything has changed. She opens a drawer, and everything's different each time she opens that same drawer. And so that kind of sobered me up pretty quickly. Wow. And I had to be with her. We didn't go to no movie. We just tripped balls. I don't know how this goes correlates with this monster brownie in Massachusetts. But
well, because if you eat an 850-pound brownie, if you ate a pound of that, I mean, you're going to probably feel, or who knows?
Right.
Not only that, how much THC did they put in that damn thing?
I don't know, because it was made by this woman. Oh, in the brownie?
Yes.
20,000 megagrams. Milligrams, I mean. 20,000 milligrams of THC. 20,000 milligrams of THC.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, that's a good weekend right there. You know who could handle that, though, is Mark Wasserman.
Easy.
Yeah. I mean, he'll drink 4,000 milligrams of THC, and it won't even affect him.
Wow. Oh, yeah, I just found that story. What happened to Brownie now? Okay, yes. That is a crazy big purchase right there. I mean, and not only that, it's just cool when you do something novelty like this, right?
Yep.
20,000 milligrams of THC. The weight is 850 pounds.
It's great marketing for the company as well.
Great.
Yeah.
Good old Massachusetts. Boy, a company weeds out the competition. I love that.
Yeah, Made a Men or something like that. Yeah, that's a great idea. It's Mary Med is the company that made the 3-foot by 3-foot brownie weighing 850 pounds with 20,000 milligrams of THC.
Wow. Mary Med Inc. Go ahead and keep doing your thing out there in good old Massachusetts. It's Cannabis Talk 101. We'll be right back after this. Take a hit, get lit, sit back and relax. It's Cannabis Talk 101. I want to thank you guys all for listening to the show. And remember, Viscus Vape, the ultimate cannabis vape experience. Viscus is a premium vape brand born in Venice Beach, delivering the maximum potency you could expect from the Viscus brand. Live the ride with the most pleasant tasting, ultra potent, and super smooth cartridges on the market. The website is viscus.life.
Good product. Good product. Good product. And good people, too.
And not only that, great people. Family ran, two brothers that started it.
Family run.
Podcast. Check them out. They're amazing. As you talk about family and this and that, I just want to thank everybody that makes this show happen. Elvis, starting with you, great producer, great brother, buddy. Great voice of the show, great everything. Jennifer, Chris Franchino, Pitt, Trayvon, Gabrielle, Ellie, Nadia, Salar, Cam, Cash, Zach, Andrew, Kevin, Jenny, Christian, Irtazar, Cal, Daniel, I love you guys, man. You're out there doing labor for us on the new building as well. Erica and Jan, thank you guys all so much for doing what you guys do. Without you, we can't do what we do. So all
Mark and Craig Wasserman.
Yeah, those guys don't do too much, but you know what? They're good lawyers, apparently. I've never used them either for that, but you know, I've awesome heard a lot guys. Of good things.
Yeah, totally.
I mean, I don't know from who, but I just want to act like I have.
Yeah, bingo. There you go.
You know what I have heard that I like, Elvis, and this could be good, is California wants to implement statewide standardized cannabis testing. Now, California is working to develop a statewide standardized cannabis testing to minimize inconsistencies in data from one lab to the next. Now,
right.
This move comes after the governor of California, Gavin Newsom, signed Senate Bill 544 into law on October 5th. According to the new bill text, the measure requires that the Department of Cannabis Control, which is the DCC, to establish one of the more standardized cannabinoids test methods to be used by all testing laboratories on or before January 1st, 2023. So we're looking till 2023 as it's coming to the end of 2021.
Right.
But one of the big quotes here is, I believe, is a necessary step to standardize testing methods and procedures when all legal cannabis products are required to undergo testing and display those results. For the consumers, this was the founder managing partner of one of the law firms out there in good old California that said this. And unfortunately, fortunately, I agree with all this. And one of the big reasons why I agree with this is we're seeing a huge spike by these disciples of the devil, which are putting fentanyl in cannabis and fentanyl and everything. Oh. Fentanyl is making a fucking huge comeback, right?
So awful.
Do I think that these legal spots have it? No. Do I think it could possibly get in it? Yes. Do I think that it should be worldwide? Yes.
Standardized
I
testing?
I think the worldwide standardized cannabis testing should be. Agreed. Not just in California. I think if California wants to start it, then yes. And I think this whole fucking thing needs to be standardized for everyone across all 50 states.
Yeah, I agree. Listen,
and all around the world.
And federal legalization is going to happen sooner than later. We know there has to be a program like this in place. And you know, the federal government, once it is legalized federally and is not a class one drug in multiple states, there's going to have to be some standard testing. So every you know, product that's bought in a legal dispensary is tested, and it's got that same testing, like you said. And you know what? You mentioned Gavin Newsom. He's been on the forefront of cannabis legislation. And you know, there's people that bash him and this and that. I have a quick story about him. Back when he was running for mayor of San Francisco, he was so cool. He actually came to my ex-wife in my house, and we did a mixer with him.
The bigger house or the condo that I was at?
The big house. Yeah, the big house we had on Washington Square Park.
I never went to that one, but yeah.
Oh, I didn't invite you because you know. Yeah, well, true. I did invite you one time to park cars, but you said no. You were high. Yeah, that's fine. But we, you know, he's been at the forefront, but we reached out to his people, and because he was doing all these, you know, tons of events, and he was the San Francisco mayor forever, and then he was lieutenant governor, then he was governor. I wouldn't mind seeing him run for president one day. That's just me. But he was he came solo. He was the nicest guy, and all the women that were at this party that were thrown at my house were so, oh my God, look, there's Gavin Newsom. He was taking shots with us, bro. He was taking shots. And just had a great time. So anybody that rips on him, just, you know, personally and this and that, whatever. But he has been at the forefront of cannabis legislation.
Elvis, when he did the shutdown and he's over there leaving his winery open, that was a little fucking...
Okay, I get it. I get it.
I'm a big fan of Joe Biden, too, and I was on the pre... And there's been some things where I'm like, fucking Joe, come on. I just call ball and a strike. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Well, listen, I mean, and don't get me wrong, that being said... I actually have a feeling, I like Gavin Newsom. Like, I'm like, okay, but then I go, when you point out the bad things, I go, yep, that was stupid. Yep, that was stupid. My point is I don't say the bad things and cover him with, but he's still a great guy. I mean, I can still like him,
right,
but admit to the things that he's done wrong.
Isn't that all of us, though? We've all done things that we're not proud of.
How about this one? The Trumpsters don't do that. How about this? A lot of the Trumpsters that I know, don't do that. They try to defend him with, but this, but that, where I'm going, Gavin, I've defended, but you've done a lot of fucking dumb things. Joe, yeah, I voted for you, and I was on this get fucking Trump out, Biden in, and now it feels like, fuck, dude, what are you doing? You know what I mean? Do I still think it's a better thing? Yes, but geez.
Right.
Help me
out,
dude. You're making me feel like I did a fucking wrong move.
Right. No, I totally get it. I totally get it. I just know from my personal experience with the guy, I think he is, he's a good person. Well, he was then. I know he's looking for votes and things like that. But I think, you know, what he's doing for the cannabis industry and what he's done and being in the forefront of, you know, passing legislation in California. I think that those kind of things, that legislation is going to be copied to a degree in a lot of federal legislation that's going to happen when, you know, cannabis is legal on a federal level. So, you know,
I hear you. And the other thing is, another big quote up here, it says, unfortunately, many consumers currently rely heavily on the report THC levels of cannabis and flower on the flower for it is for cannabis, which has led to lab shopping. And Elvis, I don't know if you realize this or know this about these labs. One lab may give you a higher level and say, here's your paperwork.
Right.
And you're shopping your cannabis going, look how high my shit is. And so therefore you can sell it for more and you can get more money for it. So there's a big game of it where these labs need to be fucking honest. You know what I mean? This puts pressure on all the cannabis producers to find a lab that can produce high THC levels on the labs that find methods to produce it that way, where it's like, no, it should just be a normal way.
Right.
It is what it is. And that's what it is.
Yep. I agree.
You know?
One standard test. And like you mentioned fentanyl earlier, it's not just in cannabis now. You're seeing that all over the place. But it's in street drugs. It's in, you know, all these opioids that people are buying. It's in crystal meth. It's in crank. It's in all this. It is a plight on this world. It really is. And I don't know, you know, and you see all these drugs that are, you know, stopped and, you know, these people are arrested coming through the border in Canada, Mexico, things like that, where it's straight fentanyl. Two grains of this can kill somebody.
Are you still selling it?
It's none of your business, but yeah, I got a twofer right now. I got a twofer, you know, buy 2 grains, get 2 grains free.
Your Green Rush Revolution slash fentanyl.
Can you imagine doing drugs from a dealer? You're seeing all these people in Los Angeles and Hollywood and stuff dying from cocaine that has fentanyl in it. You couldn't get, thank God we were doing our drugs in the 90s. You know what I'm saying? Because now I wouldn't trust anyone. Anybody. You see people like who's the actor on The Wire and Boardwalk Empire who recently died, the African-American guy.
I know you're talking about that, brother. Yeah.
Yeah. He dies from heroin with fentanyl and cocaine and this and that. You're seeing all these people die from opioids and the it's out of control.
It's funny. I literally was talking to one of my friends the other day because he didn't get vaccinated and this and that. And I'm like, dude, I'm not going to argue with you about it. Like, if you don't want to get vaccinated, you don't want to get vaccinated. I go, but we've put a lot more crazier drugs in our body than this fucking vaccination that you're worried about, dog. And he's like,
right.
Yeah, I guess you're right.
Doing crystal meth made out of a bathtub with drain cleaner and battery acid. But you're not going to go with a proven FDA approved vaccination for a pandemic. You know what I'm saying? It's like,
I think some of it's bullshit? Some people have died. Dude, did I tell you the story? I didn't tell you the story. Huh. My boy, Rich Lopez. You remember Rich Lopez? He used to hang out with Little Rich.
Yeah, okay.
So both mother and brother get COVID.
Yeah.
Unvaccinated.
Right.
They're both hurting, blah, blah, blah. Brother passes first.
Oh.
Mom gets better.
Lungs give out, man. Yeah,
but
the lungs
mom's
just
doing better. And then what happens? Mom gets worse.
Oh.
He goes, but he had a fucking double funeral. He's driving home with his mom.
Yeah.
And his brother, ashes in the car.
Yeah.
And then he finds out our boy Kobe passes. And he called me when I thought my day couldn't get any worse, Joe.
Right.
I'm driving with my mother and brother dead in the car.
Oh.
Their ashes. And I find out our boy Kobe dies. And gets
my God. We've all been through some hard stuff. But right there,
I went Rich.
My heart goes out to Rich. That's for sure.
Oh, I was like, dude. Not only that, I seen him at the funeral. Just then, I was like, dog, you just took some cake with that story on that one.
Yeah.
That all being said, folks, don't forget to tell your people you love them, because you never know when it's going to be the last time.
Mm-hmm.
And if nobody else loves you, we do.
We do. Thank you for listening to Cannabis Talk 101 on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.